Simeon was the name I was going to take when I had a choice when I was in religious life, when I was a Dominican. When you make a profession, you can change your name. Like my best friend, Father Nathan, his name is Robert, and he took Nathan. And I was going to take Simeon, but I decided, no, I like Richard. And so I stuck with Richard, but I would have been Father Simeon. No, I don't think so. But I just noticed that we do have some babies here. And we've had a lot of babies lately in the parish. It seems like we're doing a lot of baptisms. But here's the good news for those of you who have just had a baby, which is most of you know, but have not. But you get to take home a bundle of love who will be the apple of your eye for years and years to come. It's like being born again yourself. Wonder will come into your home, into your house. Your lineage continues. The world has a future. Who knows what this child will accomplish? That's what I always think about when I do baptism. What will this child do? Who will this child be? The possibilities of this new life are endless. I mean, I would love to see it, but I won't be around. Maybe I'll be able to see it from the other side. What's going to happen even in the next 15, 20 years? Never mind 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years from now. Wow. The changes are going to be remarkable. Look what has happened in this world already. But anyhow, here's the bad news for those who are holding that bundle of joy. There is some bad news. The baby's going to cry, wet and poop, and going to need you without mercy for years to come. And the baby comes with a huge price tag. I mean, you're talking about a commitment, a lot of money here. It costs dollars, right? Time, privacy, personal goals, sleepless nights, nonstop worry. There will be disappointments. There'll be grief. There will be rejection up ahead. The possibilities of heartache are also endless. Some of you now, who your children are all grown up, you go, oh well. But all moms and dads get a mixed review about their new career as parents. As a survival tactic, they tend to selectively forget the bad news, and they focus only on their hope and their energy. They focus on the good. The news that Mary and Joseph got when they brought Jesus to the temple that day was more extreme than usual, isn't it? I mean, here's an old man who they didn't know, they never met. He insisted that their son would be a success story for his nation, that he would be a path for foreigners to follow. He would be a game changer for the powerful and for the voiceless alike. He would face great opposition and caused great suffering. His mother, the absence of his father in this prediction, sounded ominous. I mean, meanwhile, at the sight of their baby, a prophetess immediately comes in and gives thanks for this child's life and began to tell everyone that God's ancient promises were about to become true. So, what should his parents have thought of all of this stuff? What would you be thinking of if you heard this about your son or daughter? What is Mary and Joseph supposed to think about all of this? Could one child bring in such sweeping and opposing destinies into reality merely by existence? Greatness is one thing, but hostility is another thing. Was it necessary that the first should ignite the flames of the second? That this greatness would cause such hostility? Perhaps they put away the dark predictions and they set their sights on the bright ones. Or maybe they have just shelved both in favor of focusing on the happy now of parenthood. I mean, after all, they had a child to raise. They had income to earn, water to draw, meals to prepare. And life was full enough in the moment without preoccupation with two such conflicting visions of tomorrow. You can't live in tomorrow. Nobody can live in tomorrow. The proper time for us mortals is today. You can only live today. And so this Holy Family learned early that trusting in God today includes entrusting the future to God until tomorrow comes. And that's all of us. We can only do that. God was sufficient in Bethlehem as he was in Nazareth, in the manger as in the temple. God would continue to be sufficient wherever the future took them and their child. God is sufficient wherever the future finds you. Considering what Jesus reveals, what you can learn from evolution and from science, what you can learn from people who had near-death experiences, like Dr. Eben Alexander and his experience of death, they all tell us the same thing. We're all going somewhere, and we're cared for by someone, the big one. But we are. We're all going somewhere and always cared for by the big one. Each of us is constantly growing and changing, and we have gone through innumerable changes. Think about all the changes you've gone through to this point in your life. It would take you days to think about all of them. The changes you've had to go through. And we're going to have to face innumerable changes in the future. Even after we die, I believe. So, but beneath all these changes, the singular eternal being each of us is completely secure. You're an eternal being. God is always with you. We are created children of God. We are created by God. We are loved by God. And within all of us, God put this deep longing within us that we would be more, that we would be reunited with the divine oneness. You are the apple of God's eye. And we are never truly separated from God. That's an illusion. It's never true. Only from your part it is. We and everything in this universe is moving toward reunion with God. A union that is more fulfilling, that is more glorious than any of us at our present level of conscious development can even conceive of. But we are going there. The trajectory is toward union with God, with self, with others, with the cosmos. You can take that to the bank. If you've never believed any word I've ever said to you, you can believe that. Why? Because it's not my word. It's God's.